Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with a relevant study of the Book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Jivanadi Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Donation in part 8 of Understanding the Times.
Let's go to the playhouse, for example. We take our seats and the curtain opens and we look and we say, oh, from the decor that is placed there, we get an impression of the scene. And then the actors come and they act in there. And then the curtain closes. We can hear there's a noise going on. Footsteps, people are moving, say, furniture, there's a sound of stuff happening. But we don't know what it is, so we're curious. When the curtain opens, we say, oh, everything changed now. Now it's a different scenario altogether. And different actors come onto the stage and they play out those roles. Then the curtain closes again, opens up, and new decor, new environment. New setting, new actors, and that's what's happened in the Book of Revelation. So what you have, you've got actors that appear on stage, and in the first scene, you have a geographical setting of seven churches, more or less in a kind of an oval diagram. So you see the churches. There they are, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. There you can see them. Oh, okay, these are the churches. And there's one walking among seven golden lampstands, and there's a description of what he looks like. And he holds seven stars in his right hand, and you're just about taking it in when the curtain closes. When it opens up, you see a throne in heaven, someone seated upon it, and there's a scroll of seven seals. So the whole scenario changes. Therefore, you have to ask yourself, what does it tell us? What does it symbolize? What message does it want to convey? And it's very deep, because as we've covered this now, I mean, he talks about the seven spirits of God, verse 5. These are the seven spirits of God. Now, how does that affect your Christian theology? Does God have seven spirits?
Yes.
So that alone.
I thought there were only three.
So that alone should tell you that you must think of it differently. You think of what it represents. Seven spirits before the throne of God, but there were seven churches. So that means God's Spirit was present in every single one of those churches. That's why there are seven spirits. God has not left his church without his presence. Can you see how valuable it is?
All I'm learning is that if you're reading the Bible at face value, you'll pick up a lot of contradictions and you might have questions like, how can there be seven when God is supposed to only be a three in one? It's only when we start studying the scriptures and going deeper do we actually start realizing that, like you're saying, it's not exactly the same. It is symbolism and it is pointing you in a direction to look and understand in a certain way.
Exactly. If you don't understand the nature of apocalyptic literature, the style in which Revelation was written, you're going to come to some fanciful ideas and lead people astray in the process. We'll actually be telling lies.
Yes.
Pastor Greg, one of those fanciful ideas, I think I've heard somebody teach on chapter 4 and use it to say that our pets will go to heaven with us one day. When they die, animals go to heaven. So what's your take on that one?
Well, I think the verdict, the jury is still out on that, because what we read about in the end of Book of Revelation is that there would be a new heavens and a new earth. What will that earth be like? Will there be something similar to what we have now, except sin will be absent? There will be no sin. There won't be a temple because God himself will be present. It won't be a sun shining because God himself will be our light. So it will be very different, but it will be a new earth. And we will be aware of God's presence in a very real way, unlike now where it's been marred by our sinful condition. We even read in Peter where Peter tells us in 2 Peter that when the elements burn up and things roll up, the sky rolls up and it's all gone, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The chances are, and I'm speculating because I don't know, but there would be animals. It would be like Eden. So the Bible started with Eden, and eventually it will end us back in Eden, but not the same Eden, a far superior Eden. Because when God put Adam and Eve on earth, it wasn't a treading water, marking time experience. He was on his way to what we call the telos, in other words, a fulfillment. Now, sin came in and marred all of that, but ultimately God will still achieve his purpose. So God wanted to deliver Israel out of Egypt, and then things went horribly wrong because it was supposed to be out of Egypt into Canaan, out of bondage into deliverance and the freedom of the promised land. But because of the state of their hearts, they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. So that happened now. There was Eden, and God had a plan to escalate things and have something even far greater and better than Eden for the end. It was supposed to be the process. But then man sinned, just like Israel became rebellious. And for the last 6,000-7,000 years, we've been running around in the wilderness. But ultimately, we will enter Canaan. So we will inherit the promised land, which is far superior to what Egypt was. God's plan will be fulfilled.
Pastor Greg, can you speak to this idea that we have in our culture? I don't have a verse from Revelations to ask this question from, but it's this whole topic of a new heaven and a new earth. Because I know that many people have the idea that once, you know, time ends and we go to be with God, we'll be with him in heaven and we'll maybe turn into angels ourselves, fly around with wings. And some people can even, you know, make the earth seem as if inherently the earth is evil, you know, just because it's physical. Is that a biblical worldview perception, or is that alien to the book of Revelation?
Well, starting with the last thing you mentioned, the perception that the earth is evil is an old Gnostic view of reality. They had their own teachings and their own heresies, and actually the Apostle John really spoke out against that quite strongly in his first and second and third letters. The Gnostics believed that matter is inherently evil. The Christian perspective is that because man sinned, the curse also affected the real creation. So that's why the ground produces thorns and thistles, and it's in the sweat of our brow that we earn our keep. Something has gone horribly wrong. That's why we have the second law of thermodynamics, that things are in a state of falling apart and going to pieces and unraveling. If you look at the human body now, you will find that our genes are corrupt. Maybe Adam and Eve, before the fall, had perfect DNA. But we don't have that anymore. In fact, we're on the verge of becoming extinct because the biological process has copied faulty genes and faulty DNA so aggressively, it's escalated almost logarithmically in our day, that what has come out is a very, very broken, fault-ridden DNA. It can't carry on for much longer, by the way. So we are heading, like the dodo, to extinction just because of the problems with the DNA. Now, that is as a result of sin. That makes it corrupted, broken, but not inherently evil. That's why you could never totally erase the image of God, no matter how far a human being had fallen. It's sinful, it's contaminated, but it isn't essentially evil. We've done evil things, but we're not essentially materially evil. We still bear, as humans, the image of God. Now, when God recreates the earth, we will have glorified bodies. We read about that already in the scriptures, that when somebody dies or when he comes back again and the dead are raised to life, we will have glorified bodies. What the exact nature of such a body is, we don't know. because you can't reason from the known to the unknown. You must have had some kind of experience of something before you're able to describe it very well. And I'm glad it's like that, because it's going to be a surprise package. You know, as children, we used to love getting gifts. And sometimes we could ask, we'd like this gift, we'd like this gift. And, you know, it was still unknown whether we'll get it. But, wow, how blessed it was and exciting it was when we got it. But sometimes we also got a lucky dip, a package of which you didn't know what was in there. And there was a certain amount of excitement and a certain amount of joy opening it up to see what it contains. And God's got a lucky dip for us. We don't know exactly what the nature of that new creation will be. It will not be entirely unlike what we are. We can't imagine what it would be like without the burden of sin. I don't think we'll have wings. I don't think we will become angels, because there's a distinct difference between the nature of an angel and the essence of a human being.
But Pastor Greg, so we will have bodies. We won't be spirits moving around in space, right?
You know, the nature of that body is difficult to define. We will still be humans, but we will have glorified bodies. The Lord Jesus once referred to the state on the other side as we would be like the angels, meaning now we won't marry, they won't be the genders that we see here today, we will be people. But the exact substance, the exact makeup of that, is very hard to tell, and that's a surprise. But we won't be angels. We won't have wings. We will be spirit beings, but it's not just the spirit that goes to heaven. It's also the soul, which means the personality. So there will be an individual, and there will be a glorified body. That's as much as we can say, I think.
I look forward to that, because I've heard so many people talk about, especially sermons on the other side and what it's going to be like, and none of them are all exactly the same. I don't often say that all of them are concrete, but they give good ideas of what we might, you know, guys is thinking this might happen. I mean, one of the pastors said to me, Vaughan, it's going to be so nice to play golf, but have 18 planets as your 18 holes and play golf from one planet to the other. Now, I know that's a little bit funny, but it's, you know, for a guy that likes golf as a pastor and to say something like that, you're like, okay, no, that's pretty cool. We don't know if it's going to be like that. So that means that even though Revelation is symbology, when it comes to the passing away of our earth and the entering in of the new heaven and the new earth, that is a literal part of Revelation that is going to happen.
Yeah, what will be on physical. It will be physical, at least the kind of material that would constitute a new abode for us human beings when time has come to an end.
Pastor Greg, in the first chapter of Revelations, it mentions that when Jesus returns, every eye will see him. Is that also symbolic? Is it also spiritual, or is that literal?
That's a difficult question. I myself have pondered the World Wide Web and the fact that with Zoom, for example, you can have a lot of people from all over the world in real time actually seeing each other. Would it be that God, in his own supernatural way, would connect to the internet when everybody's online and every eye will see him? Or is that carnal thinking?
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 8 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation. Send us any questions you have about the Book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of the program. Stay tuned for part 9, same time tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.